With that school bell, we welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. And take your Bible at this time and turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. This is class number 470 of this Radio Bible School. And we are talking about today, we're going to talk about a Sunday school lesson that was written for the Sunday schools of January the 27th, 1924. And the title of the lesson is Israel Saved at the Red Sea. And the text for the lesson is Exodus chapter 14, 21 through 31. We'll read the lesson text, the golden text, the devotional reading, and then we'll get on into the lesson as it is given to us by Elam's Notes, the man, E.A. Elam, who wrote the little Sunday school book that I'm using as a guide for the classes in the Warren County Radio Bible School. Now, while you're turning to Exodus chapter 14, I will remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this Radio Bible School. Now, let us together read this lesson text. You want to follow in your own Bible? It'll be Exodus chapter 14, verses 21 through 31, and I'll be reading from the American Standard Version of 1901. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and Jehovah caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all the night, and made the sea dry land. And the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch that Jehovah looked forth upon the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and discomforted the host of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels, and they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for Jehovah fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And Jehovah said unto Moses, "Stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And Jehovah overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, even all the host of Pharaoh that went in after them into the sea. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And Jehovah saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the work which Jehovah did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared Jehovah, and they believed in Jehovah and in his servant Moses. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Exodus chapter 15 and verse 2. Jehovah is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. The devotional reading is from the book of Psalms. It is Psalm 106, verses 1 through 9. Praise ye Jehovah, O give thanks unto Jehovah, For he is good, for his loving kindness endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of Jehovah and show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep justice, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Jehovah, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the prosperity of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, and that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not the wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy loving kindnesses, but were rebellious at the sea, even the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, and that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths, as through a wilderness. I'll read verse 10. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. Verse 11. And the waters covered their adversaries, and there was not one of them left. Verse 12, then believed they his words, and they sang his praises. I thought it'd be good to go ahead and read verses 10, 11, and 12 of Psalm 106. They go so well with this lesson, and include that as part of the devotional reading. Now, I want to read to you from Exodus chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. And this will start getting us then into the lesson. And there's a geographical note here. Notice the names of these places. Exodus chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. And Jehovah spake unto Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn back and encamp before by Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, before Baal-zephon, over against it, and ye shall encamp by the sea. And Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness have shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, and upon the Egyptians. And they shall know that I am Jehovah. And they did so. Those name places, Pihahiroth and Migdol and Baal-zephon, were places close together and near which the Israelites encamped before crossing the Red Sea. It says in Exodus 14:2, they encamped before Pihahiroth and before Baal-zephon, but between Migdol and the sea. Now, there's some connections we want to make in this lesson with the lessons we've had previous. We should read carefully all the chapter intervening between the last lesson and this one and keep the facts before us. At the burning bush, God met Moses' every difficulty and sent him to deliver the Israelites. And Moses was now 80 years old. On the way, Moses was reproved for not having circumcised his son, which was then done. His wife and his children were sent back to his father-in-law to await the deliverance. We read about that later in Exodus chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. The men in Egypt who sought to kill Moses earlier, 40 years earlier, well, they were now dead. The Lord sent Aaron to meet Moses. Moses reported to him all the Lord had said. Both then returned to Egypt. They first reported to the elders of all that God had done and said and performed the miracles directed. And we understand by reading Exodus chapter 4, verses 27 through 31, that the people believed and rejoiced. Moses and Aaron boldly presented themselves before Pharaoh and demanded the release of the Israelites. He haughtily said, this is Pharaoh, Pharaoh haughtily said, "Who is Jehovah, that I should hearken unto his voice and let Israel go? I know not Jehovah, and moreover I will not let Israel go." Exodus 5 and verse 2. Pharaoh indignantly drove Moses and Aaron away, accusing them of causing idleness, and he increased the burdens on Israel. Well, the Israelites now blamed Moses for their troubles. Just as now, people often will blame those who stand for the truth and right. They're accused of causing trouble and strife and division. Well, God encouraged Moses, and what followed are the 10 plagues. Water was turned to blood. There was a plague of frogs and of lice and of flies and of a murrain upon the cattle. There were boils and blains, hail, locusts, darkness, and then finally that last plague, the death of the firstborn. These plagues were directed against the idolatry of the Egyptians in order to show both them and the Israelites the power of the only true God. They have the names of two of those magicians in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, Jannes and Jambres, and it tells us how they withstood Moses, but the power of God was clearly manifested over them, and to their shame, they later confessed that to Pharaoh. They said, "This is the finger of God," in Exodus 8 and verse 19, and it says they could not stand before Moses in Exodus 9 and verse 11. When the plague of flies came, and the following ones, God separated the Israelites from the Egyptians to confirm to the Israelites in their faith and to make the Egyptians know that He was God, Exodus chapter 7 and verse 5. These plagues are called God's wonders in Egypt and His wondrous works in the land of Ham in Psalm 106 verse 7 and in verse 22. Solemnly warning Pharaoh against the death of his firstborn. Moses left his presence in hot anger, Exodus 11 and verse 8, to appear before him no more, Exodus chapter 10 and verse 29. Now, Exodus chapter 12 gives detailed directions for the observance of the Passover. Another, the observance of it on that terrible night when there was a dead person in every Egyptian home. God said unto Moses and Aaron, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you," Exodus 12 and verse 26. This was the month of the Passover. It became the beginning of the ecclesiastical year, and corresponds to the last of our March and the first of April. This was the month of Abid, Exodus 13:4, or Nisan, Esther chapter 3 and verse 7. The civil year began with the seventh month. This day has been called the birthday of the Jewish nation, as the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus has been called the birthday of the church. Preparation for the Exodus had been made before this, and preparation for the church had been made before Pentecost. Now, these people were delivered by faith. We read in Hebrews 11:28 through 29, "By faith he, Moses, kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, that destroyed the firstborn should not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were swallowed up." Faith in God was the mainstream of these great deeds, and it led to their great deliverance. It is through faith in God that He did what He commanded. All who in faith obey God are now saved by faith. We're going to bring the lesson to a close with that, and the class may now be dismissed.